Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio on LivePanorama.com. Hosted by owners Robert Zarek and Nikki Paranormal. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name is Nikki Paranormal, and I'm just one of the hosts here tonight. Let me go ahead and bring in Rob Zarek. He's another one of the hosts. Hello.
Hopefully there's only two hosts, correct?
Yes, I think.
We'll have like a whole,
we'll
a find whole
out.
Host. Of
a... We might have a ghostly host. You never know. Maybe if there was a ghostly host, they'd fill in right there. Because you're not. Okay. So, looks like we already lost our other host. So I'm hoping that that ghost would chime in because they might have more conversation. You never know. Oh, let's see. Let's try again. Hello?
I have no idea what happened.
Well, I was hoping that the ghost might chime in a little bit more than you did.
It was the ghost. I was talking.
You can't
then,
blame them on that.
I'm pretty sure I did, and I will.
Okay. Alrighty.
It wasn't me. I'm just sitting here being all happy and talking and stuff. The next thing I know, talking to nobody. But that's pretty much standard anyway, so.
Right.
Nothing new there.
Yeah, nope, not at all.
Just, I call that my... Call it a Monday.
Call it any day.
I guess. So,
yeah.
What have you been up to?
Oh, you know, just living. That's all. How about you?
Well, I'll give you a equally as brief answer. Just say the same thing.
Okay. Well, I mean, I worked today and. You know, I was escorted to work and spent the whole day at work with my 12-year-old son. It was a long day.
That's good.
I don't know why he thought it was going to be any more exciting, like, to be there. Clearly, he was bored after, like, 3 seconds. So it was, you know, one of those days.
Hopefully, things will pick up tonight with the podcast and the radio live radio show.
Yeah. Definitely.
He's not hosting with us, is he?
No, not yet. I'm sure he'll make his way into doing that at some point.
Soon.
He
will be the co-host.
Yeah. He'll be the additional third host. Where to boot the ghost off.
The commentary. Put it as 2 cents.
Occasionally he will sometimes come out during the show. And he'll sit in the background and he'll be watching, you know, videos. And I have to keep an eye on him because he watches videos and he has his headphones in, you know. And I never know when he's going to bust out laughing or break out in song. So I have to keep an eye on that so I can try to mute so that I can apply, you know, like, because, you know, when we've been doing these free reading nights, right? And we've had some that have brought tears. They brought tears and some very serious things to light in some of the, you know, the readings. And I could just imagine one of the more serious matters, you know, and he's like bust out laughing or something in the background. It would be very unopportune time for that, something like that. So I do have to be careful. Because, you know, either that he'll just break out in song, you know, or some real random saying, which today he was full of. Needless to say, I've had a headache all day long.
Well, hopefully,
if he
were to break out in song, it would be appropriate and relevant to whatever we were talking about on the radio.
He made up his own song last night. And it was something, you could tell it's totally my child. It was something about, it was like a creepy, like a piano playing, right, that he had heard on some TikTok video. And so he made up his own lyrics about demons being in your head. And I'm like, that's my boy. I said, please don't sing that to anybody else. You know, if he goes to like a friend's house, not that that happens anymore with the times, but, you know, or if he's on his, you know, Xbox and decides to break out in song, which is all too like him, that's probably not the thing to sing, you know? Like, yeah, only my
show. Well, I'm excited for tonight's show.
Me too.
I'm excited for tonight's show. Like, haha, happy. Like, yay.
Yay, happy. Me too.
Yeah. I don't. We haven't talked to Steve in years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So, it's been years.
Yeah.
I don't know how many years. I usually think everything's like not that long ago, but this I can say it's been years.
Right.
You know,
but
I'm
the
always
best
like,
way
hey.
To phrase it,
but then like,
it's a hot minute because that can apply for
no,
any amount of time.
I don't like. I don't like when you say hot.
You're right.
Minute,
if you say
minute,
it, it's fast.
It's not something. There's nothing ever come out of my mouth ever. Not a word I've ever said.
Maybe
so
you
when
should
you speak
imply
for both
it
of us,
if you're...
There's so many times you speak for us both, and you use words that I would never say. And then when I do say them, you're in agreement that, hey, that sounds like something you would say. Like, you can imagine me like, hey, just wait a hot minute, or it's been a hot minute, because that's not like... It doesn't
not a
robbery. Sound out. No.
But it's totally a Nikki one, see?
That doesn't
minute.
Mean that I
it's
inherit
natural.
When you talk. No.
Well, whatever. It's been a hot minute since we've talked to him, and he's been up
right,
to quite a few
well,
things
not,
since we've
not
talked to him.
Wait any more hot minutes or hot seconds. Let's bring him on.
All right, let's do it. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good.
Good.
How
are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. I'm here. At home in quarantine, staying healthy, luckily, with my cat. How are you doing?
Good.
I'm doing great. We're also quarantined. I think everyone is. I can't imagine, like, there's people out there that post pictures and stuff that are like, hey, we're quarantined. Like, it's some kind of shocker. You know, like, I think it's pretty standard now, you know, and It makes it fun to do these podcasts because on top of, like, talking about, you know, paranormal ghost hunting or whatever, we're actually diving down deep into what people are doing in their spare time. And I'll be honest with you, it's really boring. We haven't had, like, an amazing story yet. So I'm hoping you have something to be, like, so amazing. Like, I'm working on this. This is the most amazing thing ever because so far we've had people who have, like, been painting their houses, doing their garages, sleeping, you know, so...
Sorting through papers in there and organizing, yeah.
Yeah, we heard about one of our guests was telling us how he rearranged his filing cabinet and gave us actually a 5-minute rundown of how he. I mean, that's amazing and all, but you know, it's.
And how we should all do it too. Like we were all going to join in and do some big like purge, you know, like all together, and it totally did not happen in my house. I'm just going to put that out there.
No, it was like hands across the filing cabinet or something. I don't know. It was bad.
Right.
So. Have you done anything amazing? Please say if you haven't, please make it up.
Oh, yeah. You know, not really. You know, everything that you would normally do when you're, you know, quarantined. I guess a lot of movies,
right.
A lot of, you know, I've gotten to dive into some work projects. That's nice. But like everybody, missing family, you know, missing friends, that sort of thing. Yeah, it's been good to have a few weeks to you know, dedicate some time to what's coming up in the next few weeks, but starting to get antsy like everybody, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, we know that we have at least something fun to watch. What is it, in 2 days? Is it the season premiere? Is that what, it's the 22nd, correct, at 8 o'clock? Of Ghost Nation, so that'll be good.
That's right. Yeah, Wednesday, the 22nd, 8 p.m., a 2-hour episode, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then the following Wednesday, it'll be back to 9 p.m. But this Wednesday, coming up 8 p.m., 8 to 10. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Oh, that's right. It gives us something to look forward to. I have not had much luck on my TV watching. I resorted to even watching WrestleMania just to see some kind of sports. you know, I enjoy wrestling. I guess I enjoyed wrestling when I was little, like in somewhere between like the second to fifth grade range. And I was thinking, you know, I haven't seen live anything
classic
in forever. So you know what's funny is like, I don't know if you're a wrestling fan or not, but I apparently what had happened is like a lot of the current people like backed down. So they had to like reinvent the wheel by bringing some of the old people back, which made it both entertaining and sad.
Yeah, it's tell you what, everybody's ready to get back in the saddle and get things back to normal and how it should be, but we'll get there.
Yeah, hopefully.
I hope so.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
I'm telling you, the ghosts miss all of us. The ghosts miss us all, I'm pretty sure, because we haven't been able to get out and investigate, and I'm pretty sure that you know, a lot of people, we've actually had a lot of reports of people documenting the stranger things in their house than normal. And I think maybe it's they're spending more time there, or their hours are flip-flopped like all the rest of us, or I don't know, maybe they're going nuts. But they're hearing more and reporting more activity in places that have had activity in the past. So I think we're all going to have a lot to do when we're out of quarantine.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense if you live in a haunted house. You know, if you're spending 60% more of your time there now because of quarantine, you're going to most certainly come across some more things you wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, I've heard theories that the ghosts are on alert now that they're in quarantine and, you know, something's happening. But I just think that people are home more. It's like the simple. It's just a simple answer on that one.
For sure.
I normally spend 20 hours in my basement, you know, a day. So now I do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have some unique circumstances, but, like, I spend a lot of time in different areas, in just, like, a couple areas, and I'm ready to go out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm ready to get back out there.
It would be nice. So this first episode coming up on Wednesday, I guess it's a special 2-hour, as you said. Can you give us any kind of information on it? Maybe just for someone who's listening that is like on the fence, if they're going to watch it, we want to put them on the right side of the fence.
Yeah, for sure. You know, one thing that is really cool about this show for us is that it's very organic in the sense that, you know, the network and everyone we work with lets the investigation sort of unfold as it happens. It, you know, for instance, on other shows, even our past show, you know, it's when you get to a spot, you're there for X amount of time and that's it. No matter what, you're leaving it on X date. And, you know, certain things unfolded during this investigation where we, you know, had to have some conversations and make sure that we could stay there for extra time. And so it wasn't supposed to be a 2-hour episode, but it became a 2-hour episode just from, you know, what was being uncovered. And we kept telling them what was happening and that we needed more time. And, you know, they were like, well, okay, but how are we going to fit all this into an hour if we need more time? And we're like, well, it's not for us to figure out. We just, you know, need more time. And so they decided to make it a 2-hour episode, and it's pretty cool. We got cadaver dogs, we got police, we got all kinds of stuff. It's a really cool episode.
Now, I have not seen any. I don't know if there's a trailer circulating or not, but can you tell us where you are? Give us a roundabout idea or a state or anything, or is it still a secret?
Yeah, no, we're in Biglerville, Pennsylvania, which is just outside of
Gettysburg.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And we were called in by a local team there, and there was concern that there's a tree in the yard that they had thought was a what's known as a witching tree, whereas, you know, back in the day when there were the Amish and different Quakers and whatnot, they thought someone was a witch. A lot of times they would bury them, you know, kill them, and then throw a tree over them, thinking that they would never be able to resurface if they came back to life or whatever, you know, with the tree on top of them.
Nice.
And so they thought for sure that it, you know, this tree was the center of all of their activity. Whether it is or it isn't, you know, we definitely investigated that scenario. But besides that, it was quite fascinating, and we did run into quite a bit of trouble in that case, both paranormal and otherwise.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, and the new season, you know, it's very much the same as the first season for anybody who saw season one. But, you know, we worked the kinks out. It's very much more, you know, focused on what we want to focus on, which is the factual history. The way we're investigating now and letting things unfold as it happens, you know, lends itself to a bit of a mystery, too. You know, we things are just happening that we don't know about. We literally will go do research and be like, oh, this person died there? So we need to investigate that tonight and tomorrow and the next day. You know, it just unfolds in front of us. It's not like when we go to this place, we know we're going to find this. Like we find it, and it just unfolds, and it's really cool. Whereas before, you kind of go in knowing most of what you know, and not much unfolds, and just the paranormal would unfold, you know. But this, you have the history and the mystery of it, just sort of unfolds very organically and naturally, and it's super cool.
Yeah.
So when you're picking locations for the new show, is it kind of different than, you know, your past shows? Because I remember, you know, it seemed like everywhere that we've gone and done like a an event or something, you're like, oh, Ghost Hunters is here. Mm-hmm. You know, like it seemed like you go to a lot of the big places. For this show, are you doing more of like private and like less places that like have like not the urban, like everyone knows about these certain places, you know, are they different? Like, are you out searching for different places than before? How is that structured?
Yeah, it's a good question. This case, you know, investigating places, you know, like the big asylums and all, you know, it's as much fun as you can ever have as a paranormal investigator. It really is. When you boil it down, who are you helping, really? You know, you can help the field, further the study, get to some more answers and, you know, hone your investigation skills and, you know, that sort of thing for sure. But, you know, most likely whoever is at that asylum, whoever owns it, they don't need to know if their place is haunted or not. They're not looking for any sort of help. You know, they don't even necessarily want anything to move on. They're just there and enjoy it, and it's part of the culture and the history of what's happening there. So we wanted to focus, you know, really on places and people that need some real help, you know, where they really were scared. So all of our cases are coming from teams all over the country where they've sort of come to a crossroads, you know, where they're not sure where to go with their case, and not necessarily because, you know, their investigation protocols or procedures aren't up to par, or they can't, you know, it's just some researchers have other resources, you know, some researchers have some you know, longer fingers to get dirty into things, and luckily, you know, we can kind of come in and work with that team and help them get a resolution for their family, and not their family, but for the families that they're trying to help. And it's been really, really cool. You know, we are investigating some larger places as well, you know. So that's been cool, too. Like season one, we were pretty much specifically at private residences, which was great. But, you know, when you get to explore a place at night, and really find yourself lost in these dark, you know, decrepit, supposedly haunted hallways, it's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
Now, looking back at season one, did anything just blow you away that happened last season? So I'm sure we can openly talk about last season, not as much this upcoming season. Though I guess we probably could, you can hint towards it. But, you know, being with your amazing resume of all these locations, all these, you know, was there anything that just blew you away that last season?
Yeah, a few things. One, there was a, you know, we do a lot of different things, and a lot of things are, you know, techniques and different, you know, to some investigators and some people watching a show, you know, you put on a Civil War jacket and grab a Civil War sword, and you're kind of just watching it, and you go, okay, yep. But they don't connect the dots and realize, like, oh, that is a technique. You know, that's a familiarization technique. They are, you know, doing what's familiar to who or what may be there, you know, that they're trying to communicate with. And so there was a case in Halifax, Virginia, where we implemented two or three different techniques strategically and a few gadgets even to really come up with an amazing experience. And you know, that was super cool. We used a trigger object proximity sensor, a Civil War sword, and as you know, a trigger object. And we had some Civil War era clothing that we put on to reenact the situation. And yeah, it was phenomenal. It was really fantastic. And it was so awesome and cool that I bought the sword. I had to. I said, this has to be mine. And right. So I did. I bought it. I have it. It's here with me right now. Not in my lap, but it's here at the house with me. And, yeah, it was really cool. And there were a few things like that during the first season. And, you know, for people that investigate private residences, it's, you know, your chances of coming across something are a bit more slim than if you're running around, you know, an asylum where supposedly 70 people died, you know, or, you know, a prison where there's a lot of angst and turmoil that people were going through. So I feel like we were very lucky during season one to have the solid experiences. And, you know, and what was really cool is, we decided in the beginning that we didn't, not that we didn't care about evidence, but evidence was a sort of a second seat on this show. It was, you know, really helping people and teams and getting to the bottom of things regardless of evidence. You know, a lot of shows and even our previous work and, you know, it really became the chase for the best piece of evidence and who has the best piece of paranormal evidence and what piece of evidence is going to change people's minds and, you know, all of this. And we gave that a second seat. And what was interesting is just by utilizing really solid techniques, some new equipment and some solid, really solid historical research. I mean, really deep diving, through that and not even worrying about the evidence, we ended up catching some of the best evidence we ever caught, you know. So that was a really cool byproduct of not really chasing the evidence on this particular show.
Now, do you ever use people as trigger objects in this new show when it comes to, you know, because I believe a lot of times people who are there all the time or have had the experiences are the best trigger objects. Because you mentioned trigger objects. Do you use people as trigger objects as well? Or are you guys not doing that?
No, absolutely. Whatever makes sense to this situation, we definitely do. For instance, there's a case coming up on season two where, you know, the activity was only happening around a certain female, you know, so we made sure that female was there investigating, she would be the trigger, in essence. You know, if it's happening around a certain homeowner or client, we'll make sure that they are present investigating. And even, you know, we don't, when we do these cases here, we work with local teams for sure. But, you know, I did and talked to a lot of people since who sort of thought that we were just going to take the case over and, you know, then it becomes ours and that's it. But, you know, we don't just take the case over. We work with the local team, the local investigators. They're there throughout the investigation with us. They're at our command center reviewing evidence. They're looking at the monitors. They're going in investigating these places. And a lot of times we'll decide to send them in first as a bit of a trigger because, oh, you know, you've been investigating this place for 2 years. You've had this degree of success. If there is some intelligence there, some, you know, decision-making skill or, you know, retention, whatever you want to call it, it may remember you and be more likely to interact with you. Let's send you in first, you know, not as bait, but mm-hmm. just, you know, to refamiliarize and say, oh, this is a familiar, you know, personality. I remember this person. I'm going to, you know, instead of just coming in all jarring and we're new people, look at us, you know, we have all this fancy equipment, show yourself. So, yeah, that was a good question. And we definitely do that for sure.
Well, I think that's very humbling and probably one of the better answers I've ever heard because you don't know how many times you hear people say, hey, we called these people out to do a show, and then they're completely taken out of the picture, as if the people who mm-hmm. did the show found all the information out. You know, like the people who did the show was the one who did all the research. You know, like I don't know how many times I've heard that. So it's very refreshing mm-hmm. to hear that you actually, you know, bring those people in. And it actually makes a lot of sense because, you know, there's a couple of places that we go to that mm-hmm. they're familiar with us, where they even give us, like, my full first and last name, which I have, you know, not the easiest last name to pronounce, through the ghost box. And I can tell you, like, we've had some of the most bizarre experiences at this location, and no one else mm-hmm. has really ever investigated before. And, like, if we were to give that up, and then someone were to come in to just be like, hey, you know, we found all this, it would just be, like, it would be annoying. And I know that happens all the time, so it's very refreshing to mm-hmm. hear that you guys do it the way it should be done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
See, I like you for a reason.
we've had, you know, the local teams that they've all been fantastic, and there have been a few that, you know, I consider really good friends now, and when we keep talking mm-hmm. and, you know, Judy from season one, one of the local investigators, I just named a dog for her. You know, so it's like we still talk to these people. We're not that I named it for her, but she asked for suggestions, and I said, oh, well, of course, it's got to be Bennings, you know, for my favorite movie, The Thing. And she was like, perfect, and she named the dog. But, you know, so it's not like we just we wanted them to be an integral integral part of the show and the investigation, and it's been really cool and it's been really fun. I've learned a lot from a lot of the investigators, and a lot of them have been very gracious and you know, I'm in this field, I'm not exactly the easiest guy to get along with. You know, I enjoy disproving evidence. I don't really believe in much, you know, but they're all very gracious in putting up with my personality. And, you know, it's been really, really cool. And I come out of each investigation not only making new friends, but learning from the local investigators, having fun with them, investigating with them, and still talking to them today, you know,
that's the best response we've ever heard, because that's the way that we believe and we practice. So we are, is so refreshing. Oh my gosh. Okay,
well,
sorry. Go ahead.
It can't be everyone, though. There's got to be a couple people you're like, yeah, I don't want to talk to them again.
Well, no, but he said learn. And that's just it. We all learn from each other by working together. You know, you might learn a different technique, but it's so awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, you can learn both ways. You can learn, hey, I like it, or hey, I don't like it.
To do it or not to do it. Right.
Yeah. Learn. I'm never doing that again. So.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's important to work together.
You have to. You know, we're all in this boat together. You know, we each have a little, what do they call them, oars or paddles or whatever. We each got one of those. We're trying to get to the same place here, you know. But it is. We enjoy working with the teams. And we're even working with some, some people we called upon, vice versa, actually, some people that, you know, called us out to season one, called us back out for this season. So you'll see a few more familiar faces from last season, which was super, super cool.
I'm excited for the familiar faces for season two.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that's gonna be
familiar
fun.
Faces for sure. I mean, previous investigators from, season one, and not to say much, but maybe even others from the other, you know, other teams, other past shows. I don't know. It's pretty cool.
I don't know.
We've been having a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think it's going to be good. We had, we have a lot of people on with different shows and, you know, different mindsets. And I think that this is all refreshing to me. It's not like, you know, in my opinion, there's only so much you can do to reinvent the wheel, but at least this sounds, yeah, this is right up my alley, so I'm excited for watching this new season.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. It's really cool, and Jay and I we're in a very fortunate position to be, you know, executive producers on the show. So it's never a, you know, you guys have to. Everything has been just conversations and fun and. Very organic and the way it should be. It's very, very cool. And, we can do things like, oh, boy, we better get some cadaver dogs here. I don't know. That's going to take a while. That's going to be, can we work it? I don't know. And, you know, we can call the network and say, hey, we're thinking about this. And they will listen and be like, you know, that's a great idea. Maybe you should dig in there and see what's going on, you know. So it's very, very cool that we have that. A sort of flexibility where, you know, if you don't have that, realistically, they can sort of tell you to go on and do whatever they want, really.
Mm-hmm.
So
for sure.
Now you also were involved in a documentary. You were a director in a documentary. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I had been contacted a few times a couple years ago through an agent I had at the time by a homeowner named Alice Jackson, and she'd reached out a few times, and eventually he passed the information along to me, and I said, oh, this is kind of cool. It's in Mississippi. It's not like I can just, you know, or anybody can just say, yeah, I'm in Massachusetts, let me just hop out of Mississippi for a few weeks. You know, it just realistically doesn't work that way. But eventually the information got to me, and a few things really intrigued me about this particular house. One is that even though the homeowner, Alice, built the house with family intentions and raising a daughter and it being her dream home, this and that, she, you know, quickly had to move out and never turned back. I hadn't lived another night in the house, but, you know, was so sort of attached to it, refused to sell it, but also was so frightened and intrigued by what she saw, she wanted to sort of get some answers to it. And did want to, you know, she thought if she could ever figure out what the terrible experience she had was, which was many, but the one that actually drove her out of the house, you know, she would obviously love to live in the house. And so, you know, that was quite intriguing, hearing about her sincerity. But then from a paranormal aspect. I thought, you know, as a paranormal investigator, I have the chance to investigate a house that hasn't been lived in for 10 years. And for this 10 years has been a controlled study of the paranormal. She's had a team there, these local investigators, Brad and John, and their team there, two great fellows who really care for her and have put 10 years into investigating this house. So for 10 years, it hasn't been lived in. It hasn't gone to shambles. It's a beautiful home, and she still pays the bills, obviously, and keeps it, you know, up to spec. It's not, you know, she just doesn't sleep there. And it's been investigated for 10 years straight. So they have 10 years worth of data and evidence and just all of this different. And then one other thing that I thought was interesting is they had said that they felt like that they were using the house as a training ground of sorts,
mm-hmm.
To teach what was there to communicate with them. And they had been finding and documenting some degree of success with that. I said, holy cow, that's something I'd actually never heard of before and thought was quite intriguing. And so I decided to go there. So I went there myself and investigated. Fell in love with everybody, found how kind they were and how, you know, they really just wanted to get to the bottom of this. There's, you know, no rewards and accolades for what they were doing. They're investigating this house for 10 years straight. And that's just it, just to investigate it and help this woman try to get back into her house and, you know, just try to figure this out. And I was like, wow, this is pretty awesome and sincere stuff. And then I had some few interesting things happen myself that first time. So much so that I went back again by myself. Well, you're not alone. It's not like I'm a weirdo. I mean, I'm just going to go to strangers' houses by myself, you know. But I went back and investigated, not with a camera crew or anything, just as an investigator, you know. And then realized what's happening here is quite phenomenal. This story should probably be told for many, many reasons. One was how open she was with, you know, talking about the stigma that she deals with living in a haunted house in a small community in Mississippi. She can't mm-hmm. tell people that the house is haunted. She can't, you know, she's kind of looked at as the woman in the haunt, you know, and it's a very, and it's interesting to explore the stigma that somebody who lives in a house that is haunted, what they go through as a person in their daily life. And we explored that a little bit. And one other thing that makes it quite interesting is, or cool for a documentary is completely unbiased. There's no sway, you know. You think paranormal documentary, sure, but we used 100% real science, real physicists. I interviewed them myself, and they told me things that dispelled theories that I thought were true. They told me things that affirmed theories that I didn't think were true. You know, it was really cool and very eye-opening and enlightening. And we use all of that in the documentary. You know, you'll see, Rob, I'm not sure if you got a chance to see it, but you'll see that at one point I asked the physicist, do you believe in ghosts? And he laughs at me. He says, "I'm a scientist. I believe in science. Like, what's wrong with you?" You know,
I watched it. I took notes. He did laugh.
He did, and he's such a nice, kind guy. Like, he didn't make fun of me. Like, he wasn't making fun of me. He was just having a laugh with me. You know, mm-hmm. it wasn't.
Right.
You know, he wasn't that. He was actually a gem of a gentleman and very trying to even talk to us. I went through maybe 30 or 40, 50, maybe 60 physicists until I found a few that would actually talk to us about the paranormal topic. So it was quite a, well, I'm exaggerating. It was probably about 30, to be completely honest.
That's a lot, though.
30. And it took a while for someone to be like, yeah. And I picked him specifically because his, you know, his expertise is in energy transference and you know, particle physics, which is exactly what we want to explore in terms of the paranormal. So, that, you know, using that real science and that unbiased. But also, you know, when I decided that I was going to tell the story in the sense of a documentary, I didn't want to make it scary. I didn't want to make it horror. I didn't even want to make it paranormal in feel. I wanted it to be just as it is. Let it, if it's going to be scary, let it be scary because it is, because it could happen to somebody. But let's not paint it and make it scary. Let's just present it as information, very much like a true crime documentary or a history documentary or something like that. But with a paranormal theme, of course, so you are going to be scared at times watching it. You're going to have the chills and be like, wow, that could happen to me. But it's not presented in a way like you should believe this. It's presented in a way, this happened to her. Here are the facts on both sides. Let's get to the answers and to the truth together, you know. And it's a pretty cool linear story that we told.
Now, if someone wants to buy it, where can they do that?
Oh, that's a great question. Thanks for asking. Paul, you know, we're actually very fortunate to be able to have distribution for the film. We've got an amazing distribution through Gravitas, Gravitas Ventures, a great company. And luckily, it's available half price right now, pre-order on iTunes. But then it comes everywhere May 5th. And so right now they can pre-order it on iTunes. And then it'll be available everywhere that you buy movies May 5th. And if you want a hard copy, like if you want, you know, one that you can hold in your hands, you can get it on Amazon, or when stores open, it'll be in like Walmart, Best Buy, and Redbox and all that stuff.
Sweet.
Yeah, I do like the whole thing. I still like to buy the discs. I know I'm weird, but...
No, man, it's good to have something tangible and hold it and
right.
Yeah, absolutely. I listen to audiobooks almost exclusively. Sometimes I read, but mostly audiobooks. But even still, I'll listen to it, but then I'll buy the hard book of it, or the paperback, whichever version, and I'll put that on the bookshelf. So I'm a little bit of a cheater there. I'll listen to it, but I'll buy the actual book, you know. It's good to have something tangible.
Exactly. It is. You know, you never know if the internet goes down forever, you still got that disc.
That's right. It could. They attack the grid. You never know. Conspiracy theory. I'm sure you've had those people on your show before.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it always leads back to the aliens. That's what I figured out.
No way.
It's always mm-hmm. the aliens.
Hey, if anybody can build a high enough powered EM pump, it would be the aliens.
it's no matter what. Yeah, we've had mm-hmm. people turn reincarnation around to aliens. So
yeah.
that seems to be a reoccurring theme that we always find.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's always the aliens. The aliens.
Hey.
So I'm thinking the whole the coronavirus, aliens.
Whoa. You think so?
No, I don't know. That's the first time I ever spit those words out of my mouth. Right there.
I'm sure someone does. It's probably on the internet somewhere.
He was like, no, I got to cover myself. No, I don't believe that.
No, I don't really develop conspiracy
I'm
theories.
Looking it
I
up
just
now.
Take everything. I take everything as it goes.
Yeah.
A lot of my...
Each one at a time.
Yeah. I'm sure there is an alien theorist out there with the coronavirus. It only would make sense.
Of course, yeah. No, who knows where it has come from? But I think we have our finger on the answer. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think most of the world's governments have it figured out. But.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you imagine if it did come out that it was aliens? I wonder if that would make people pissed, or if it would make them feel more relieved. Like, okay, at least there's a reason for this crazy shit that's going on. You know, like
right. They have someone to blame, right?
Right. At least it it's nobody in the government. It's not another government. It's nothing, you know. Gosh.
It's just a mishap during an abduction that, you know, they brought it back. That's all.
Yeah. That's right. Cattle mutilation gone bad.
Right.
You know, if there's not one out there, we could always start it. And it started right here.
We might have just done it. Boom.
The alien coronavirus conspiracy theory.
It's going to sweep the web. Watch out.
Yep.
You're the director. If you decide to take the lead with this, just make sure you give us a little bit of credit.
Oh.
You know, like if we find out like 6 months from now, you have a new documentary coming out. You know.
I don't know. I don't want
we to know where it originated.
Oh, Lord. Your words.
Yep. Yeah. Documented forever.
You know, we always come up with something creative on every episode.
Sometimes too creative, but yeah.
And it's not always like amazing, but it's creative.
It's creative. Yeah.
Sure.
So do you have, since we only have about 10 minutes left, do you have any plans? I know we're kind of bringing it back to the whole quarantine thing. Do you have any like big plans for any kind of like home improvement jobs or anything that you're going to be doing? Because I mean, you just said, you know, do you have any hope that you're going to do anything?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I like this actually talking about, yeah, because we're all going through this sort of self isolation, quarantine, and you know, and everybody, I think, except for the few knuckleheads out there, everybody's been doing a pretty good job, you know. I'd like to remind the younger people, you know, if someone told your parents that it was killing, you know, people 25 and under, they would lock themselves in a closet and never leave, you know. So, and we owe it to everybody, you know, just stay home and let this thing ride out. But I do have some plans. Yeah, you know, I've done some things. Yeah, you know, luckily I've been steeped in work, so I haven't really had time to do much else. But after this week is over, I think we'll probably all still be on lockdown for a few more weeks. And mm-hmm. I plan to hopefully try to finish a remodel that I've been doing on my bathroom. I haven't had the motivation to do that in a long while, so I'm not sure if that'll come back. But I've been taking lots of walks. I went on a hike, you know. I'm trying to get out there and stay active a little bit away from people, of course.
Yeah.
As much as I can, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I always hate giving hugs, and so it's like, this is perfect for me. I don't think I'll ever have to give a hug again. You know, it's like the one thing that I, like those awkward hugs, like when you see people at like a convention or something, you're like, they try to give you a hug. You're like, no, I don't really want a hug. So this is perfect. I think this is one of those things that we never have to give hugs again. And it's the one thing that I'm taking away from it that I'm going to enjoy.
Yeah, you just have to give an elbow bump.
If there's a silver lining to any of this, that could be one for sure. You won't have to hug anybody. What about your parents? Anyone like hugging your parents?
I'll hug my parents. That's doable.
If he has to.
Right, but it's been well documented in my hatred for hugging. So it's
yes.
But sometimes it's like a double-edged sword because people like then find out you don't like to hug and then they want to hug you. So I guess it's like one of those fine lines. You don't really want to give out that information because then the initiative's out there.
Totally just got like 30 hugs, Rob.
Oh yeah.
No, they won't do it now because of the virus.
They might still go in for it. They might try anyway. They might be trying to contaminate you.
Now that people know you don't like it,
right?
They're going to be coming
once
in.
Once it's okay again, you're done. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yep. It can just be fist bumping and elbows now for for the rest
yep.
of
for a long time.
Our time here on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Awkward wave, I guess, would be the best thing. And it's like, you know, we try to come up with stuff to do. We've been doing actually, like, this isn't even our standard night. We always just do them on Tuesdays, but we've been doing radio shows every single night. And we've been doing what we call, we came up with free psychic reading night. So we have psychics giving free readings, and then we're doing, you know, interviews with people who have been so gracious, like yourself, to come and talk about their projects and what they're doing or not doing or wanting to do during the quarantine. And I think we're going to probably start streaming live static cams from haunted locations as well, because people
uh-huh.
like to watch
yeah.
those. Yeah, and we
oh, yeah.
have... We have the one advantage because she actually works at a haunted bed and breakfast, which I think you have investigated at the Farnsworth in Gettysburg. So
oh.
I think we might be doing some streaming yep. from there. So,
and since I'm there all alone every day, I figure we might as well utilize the time and do some streaming while I'm there. So
okay.
look for that,
Bart.
Everybody.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We will. I'm looking for all that mm-hmm. stuff.
Well, and that's a pretty good location too. There's a. I've gone there. We got a lot of. We always get a lot of stuff that happens there. So that should be mm-hmm. fun to do. I don't know if you remember going there or if you got anything, but it's it seems to always deliver.
You know that I don't remember exactly. Unfortunately, they stick around for a few years, but then once they get further back, it gets a little muddy for me. And that's my own fault for having not the best memory on the planet. But I remember Cashtown Inn. I remember being at Farns, but I don't remember the exact, like, experiences or evidence or anything like that, unfortunately.
Well, if you ever want to go back.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you.
Just hit me up.
I'll be there in July. Yeah, or no, June.
Well, there you go. Come over.
All right, over to the Farms.
I got keys.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah.
A little vacation time.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Any excuse for Gettysburg. Now, you say Gettysburg, or how? I've heard that if you say
everyone
Gettysburg,
says it different.
They want to kill you.
Right.
Yeah.
When you're there, it's Gettysburg.
Yeah.
But I call it Gettysburg. Because
oh,
I'm from Maryland,
I
so I can do that. But when you're in town, it's Gettysburg.
Huh?
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I used to always say Gettysburg until I got scolded. But I'd only been scolded once, so I didn't know if that person was a weirdo.
No, it's
maybe
all
they are
it's the whole town. They could be. Everyone there might be. But they call it Gettysburg. But to me, it's Gettysburg. I mean, look at the spelling.
Gettysburg. Okay.
Yeah.
I love that town. I really do.
It's been very quiet, very quiet. The streets are dead, so it's prime time for investigating. There's no outside noise because there's no one around. So it's good.
Oh. Do you just walk around the battlefield? Not the battlefield. Do you get to go on the battlefield? Do you get to go on the battlefield at all, or is it still just all completely locked off?
Yeah, you can go in the battlefield and walk around. Just the visitor centers are closed right now. But the battlefield's still open, and plenty of people are taking advantage of that and walking around the battlefield portion of Gettysburg.
Okay.
But as for, like, the main street areas, like Baltimore Street, the main drag there, you see a random person maybe walking a dog. So it's nice and quiet, and it, like I said, it's prime. It's perfect time to, you know, do a live stream or do an investigation. And since I'm there, I might as well do it. I mean, I do it anyway, so why not, you know, set up a camera for everyone else to enjoy while I'm working.
Yeah,
so,
they probably love it.
Yeah. Looking forward to seeing what we get.
Well, we definitely appreciate you coming on. We're going to put up a special little promo for your documentary on our stuff.
Yeah.
There's stuff up now, and we'll probably put it up again so people can pre-order now that you know, with that link, because I think it's a good documentary.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I'm definitely impressed by it. So,
mm-hmm.
I have to have you on again too.
Thank
I
you.
Think it's been. You're I looked on. At the last time you were on, and it was like 6 or 7 years ago. So
okay,
hopefully we'll do it again. Yeah, hopefully it won't be 6 or 7 years again.
Yeah, let me know. I'm down. Always, always in for it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And
thank you.
She always says stay safe and wash your hands, but I think that's common knowledge.
Yeah, I hope so. But still.
They haven't gotten it by now. They're not going to get it.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you again,
thanks,
and we will talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Have a good
night.
Talk to you later.
Bye. Yep, bye-bye.
So there you go, another great episode. Found out what he's doing or what he wanted to try to accomplish with his bathroom.
I need to send him motivational messages. Motivational messages. Like, hey, how's that bathroom? How's the bathroom? Have you thought about maybe working on the bathroom? How's your bathroom?
Yeah,
it might sound weird. But
yeah, have you gone to the bathroom? Maybe not even like that.
It might sound weird, but how's the remodel going? Yeah.
Yeah.
See, look, we can help motivate people. We can send them those subtle reminders, and then they'll probably be like, you know what? I probably really should do that. I know I really have a lot of things that I need to do and that I thought I'd have all this time to do it. Although I've been working, you know, here and there, I was just told that I've got the green light, I guess, to go back to work. And now I'm like, I don't want to. I didn't get my stuff done. You know,
well, for my case with my injury, I decided that I'm just not saying about all the things that I was going to do that I really wasn't going to do. Like, man, that's really, I wanted to do this, I had plans to do that, and you know, I did not have plans to do any of it. But it's just like, sounds about people like, oh man, that sucks. Like, I talked to my uncle, I haven't talked to him in a long time, and he called me, and he's like, you know, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I was going to do this, and he's like, wow, that's really, you know, I'm surprised you were going to do that. I'm like, no, I'm just lying, I really wasn't going to do it, I just say that because I can't do it now.
It's just I can say it, right, and not feel, you know, bad about not getting to it because there was actually no physical way to do it, but I can say I was going to do it. That's how I feel about my room. My room's a disaster. I need to sort some things. I need to purge. I need to get rid of some stuff, and it's not happening. And I don't even think, like, the Planet Aid things, I don't even think they're allowing anyone to drop anything off, so that's part of my excuse. Because they don't want anything, like, possibly contaminated. So I have to wait.
It's all their fault.
It's all the coronavirus's fault. I had that time due to corona, but I had nothing I could do with the stuff because of
it. You know where it came from.
Those damn aliens. And I did look it up when we were talking about it, and space.com, a website, stated, no, guys, coronavirus did not come from the aliens. But I don't know if it's a reputable site.
I don't know. Space.com.
Sounds reputable.
Just like
you're breaking up here.
.com. I don't
yes,
know. How about now?
That was, I heard ghosthunting.com. Don't know what you said before.
Like
it doesn't matter. You said ghosthunting.com. Great website.
Right. It is. It's a good name.
People should look at it. Yeah.
We need to work on it. There's like 7 or 8 posts on it, but something we now own. So
7 or 8 more than there were before.
Right. And it is
look at the positive.
Going to be the largest besides Live Paranormal in the world of the paranormal.
Yeah. Yes. That sounded great,
so,
but I don't
know.
I'm
excited. I don't know. I'm excited to do the live streams, and hopefully I'll be able to be out there and do an investigation and live stream soon. I got worried that hopefully I'll be driving sooner than I had anticipated, which is always
maybe
positive.
People can look for that live stream on Wednesday. I might do a still camera feed on Wednesday. So keep an eye out for that.
I don't feel as if I can drive out and do a live stream on Wednesday, but I know you can. I'm going to be about two Wednesdays away from driving.
Oh, okay.
And then we're gonna then we're going all over.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Definitely. Well, we have a lot of exciting shows coming up, and everyone, stay tuned. Make sure you pre-order that documentary, and we'll post some information about that. And have a great night, everybody.
Goodbye.
Take care.